The Bible reading this morning comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. John the Baptist prepares the way. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him.' And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: 'After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.' At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you that they're your words for us today, Lord. Even though they were written hundreds and sometimes thousands of years ago, Lord, we know that they are that you speak to us today through them. And we pray for Sam. Thank you for his preparation. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would use him this morning to bring your word to our hearts, that we would be changed to be more like the people you are transforming us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Over to you, Sam. Thank you.
Oh, man. Brilliant. Thank you, Dave. Well, good morning to you, wherever you are watching from. It's great that you've been able to join with the service today, whether you're a regular at St. Pat's or just watching. Good morning to you. My name's Sam. I'm Assistant Minister at St. Patrick's, and it's a pleasure of mine to be able to share with you this morning. We're going to be thinking about our Bible reading, which came to us from Mark's Gospel. And I love Mark's Gospel. Everything seems to happen really fast in Mark's Gospel. If you read through Mark, you'll see the word "immediately" quite a lot pop up. It's as if Mark is in a bit of a rush. Stuff just happens quickly as he tells the Jesus story. And so as we begin, I want you to picture for a moment Mark, or just a man in the distance. Let's say it's Mark, and he's running towards you. I want you to picture that just for a moment. And he's running towards you, and he's got a grin on his face, but he's not very fit either. So he's kind of bent over a little bit, but he's running towards you and he's getting closer and he's shouting out. It's like, guys, listen, guys. And he's getting closer and he's grinning, but he's tired. And he comes up to you and he puts his hand on your shoulder. And he puts his hand on your shoulder and he looks up at you and he says, "Listen, it's the good news. There's a man, he's called Jesus. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God." And he's there and he's grinning and he begins to tell you this story about Jesus. Well, right at the start of Mark's story, there is an event that announces the beginning of God's new mission on earth. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. Jesus's baptism is the event that announces the start of God's new mission on earth. In this event, we see all three members of the Trinity. What is the Trinity, you might be wondering? Well, put simply, God is so great. He is so big that at times he just explodes and expands our understanding. So just as with his love and his power and his goodness often goes beyond our understanding, that's true when we come to try and understand God himself. We heard from Lorna and Jen, and hopefully you've enjoyed your Mars bar this morning. And that just as a Mars bar has three components, so too with God. God is three persons making up one being, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, my prayer, my hope is that we will understand that Jesus' ministry on earth is the outworking of the entirety of God. Jesus' life, his ministry, his healings, his teaching, his death and resurrection, these things aren't just the work of Jesus. They're not just the work of one man, but rather it is the work of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. How do I know that? Why do I say these things? Well, I think the key to understanding this lies in our passage today. Well, Mark starts off the Jesus story by telling us about a man named John the Baptist. And John's role was really simple. In verse 3, we read, John was to prepare the way for Jesus to make straight paths for him. And how did he do that? Well, John did that by calling people to repent of their sins, to turn away from the wrong things they were doing, the stuff that was displeasing to God, to turn away from that and be baptized. Hey, I wonder whether you've ever been to an event or something where there is an announcer. You've been to a sports event or to the theatre and there's a speaker system or a tannoy and someone comes over that system and starts to announce what's coming up, to tell you what is about to happen. I remember being on holiday with some mates of mine. We'd just finished school and we thought we'd go away together. We went to Italy. We probably wouldn't go there now, but this was a few years ago and we were in Rome and we had managed to get tickets to go to Roma versus Juventus. And if you're a football fan, you'll know that Roma versus Juventus is a pretty big fixture in the Italian football league. And so we were excited about that. We'd got the tickets online. We went to the Olympic Stadium in Rome, which is where they play. And we went in and it turned out, we didn't realize this, it turned out we were sat with the Roma ultras, which if you don't know what ultra is, it's like an extreme fan who at times are a little bit scary. And so there we were, me and my four mates, who were stood terrified of the fans around us. We were watching the game and seeing some amazing players like Paul Pogba, because he used to play for Juventus. And I remember it was an amazing experience. But what stood out to me most, the thing I remember most from that football game, was the announcer, the person that came over the tannoy, the speaker system, to announce to us what was about to come on and happen. And the reason I remember the announcer so much is because he was just mad. He spoke so fast and he said stuff about every single player and the fans just responded and they erupted with such noise and it was just phenomenal. I've never heard anything like it. Each player, you'd think that would be a boring process, but he just gave them such an introduction that everybody in the stadium just erupted with noise. I'll never forget that announcer. He was amazing at his job. Well, why do I tell you that story? Well, I tell you that because Jesus' ministry and this new mission of God, the Trinity, is so significant that there was an entire human life devoted to announcing the start and the arrival of this new mission on earth. An entire human life. John the Baptist's life, his primary purpose, his primary role was to announce the start of this new mission. And we see the start of this new mission held together in this event, Jesus' baptism, where we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit together in one moment. And so this morning, I want to take a closer look at the three in one, those three persons of the Trinity. And I want us to think about two things in particular. The first is I want us to understand what do we learn about each person of the Trinity from our passage this morning. And then the second is how does that then help me relate to the Trinity and relate to God? Well, let's begin with God the Father. And at this hugely significant event, what is it we see? Well, in verse 11, we read that as the heavens are torn open, a loud voice can be heard. And this voice says, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What we have here is God the Father saying to Jesus, speaking over him, public recognition and affirmation that he is his son. A public recognition and affirmation that Jesus is God the Father's son. Crucially, this significant moment unites Jesus with God the Father. Their bond is made clear for everybody to hear. Their relationship is Father and Son. So let's just pause there for a moment and think about what it is God the Father is saying to his Son. He says, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Right at the start of Jesus' ministry, God the Father affirms Jesus as his son, who he loves and who he's pleased with. So let's think about that for a moment. Jesus hasn't actually done anything. His ministry hasn't begun. He's not healed anyone. He hasn't taught anyone. He hasn't restored anyone. He's not cast out any demons. He hasn't actually done anything yet. And yet God the Father publicly affirms and builds up Jesus. I think what we see here is a glimpse at the Father's heart. I just think for a moment, you are a parent. Maybe, in fact, you are a parent. And you're just about to send your son or your daughter off to school for their first day. But before they go, and before they've done any work, before they've done any revision, before they have sat any tests, before they have done a single exam, before they've got any results back, you stop everything, you stop them in their tracks, and you say, and you declare over their life, over their existence, that you love them, that you're proud of them, and that you're pleased with who they are. Isn't that an amazing thought? Isn't that really challenging? That's what we see God the Father do for his son. I don't know about you, but I hope and pray that one day, if I am a father, I'll be like that with my son or my daughter. I love you. I'm proud of you before you do anything. Isn't that amazing? That is a glimpse at the Father's heart. But what does this mean for Jesus? Well, in this moment, the Father affirms Jesus' identity as his son. Jesus is God's son, meaning Jesus is God. The Father is united with Jesus. Jesus has the authority of his Father. The Father tells Jesus that he is loved and affirmed. Jesus' mission on earth will be one of love. He is loved by the Father. His ministry will be one of love. Well, let's think a little bit more about the Son. Let's think about Jesus. I think it's fair to say that if a strange man dressed in camel hair, that's John, or a loud voice came from heaven, or something of the appearance of a dove appeared in the sky, actually, all of those things would be enough to take the headline news. Jesus is arguably overshadowed in this passage. But perhaps that's the point. Jesus is the humble servant. He comes not shouting about himself, but rather in submission. He's ready to start this new mission, this new ministry of God on earth. He is the humble, submissive servant. And yet, Jesus is the centerpiece of this event. Of the three members of the Trinity present here, it's Jesus who is glorified. God's amazing plan to rescue and restore humankind will be fulfilled through Jesus. And so all point and magnify him. So what? What does that mean for us? Well, I think it means that our focus should also be on the Son, should also be on Jesus. Just as the Father and the Holy Spirit focuses on Jesus, so too our focus and our attention should be on Jesus. Focus on his ministry, focus on his teaching, focus on what is his life and his death and his resurrection has achieved. Well, what has it achieved? Well, Jesus has turned everything upside down. He's turned upside down our understanding of life. Through Jesus, we find new life, a life with a greater purpose, and one day a life that will have no more pain, no more hurting, and no more suffering. If you're watching this and you've never wondered what Jesus has done for you and what he has achieved for you, then get in touch, because we would love to speak to you. I'd love to talk to you about that. In fact, at St. Pat's, we run courses to help people understand who Jesus is and what he has achieved. Well, the final member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that of the three members of the Trinity, the Spirit is perhaps the hardest for us to relate to and understand. I can understand Jesus because he's human. I can understand God the Father because I have the concept of an earthly father. But I struggle to understand the Spirit. So let's take a look at the Holy Spirit in our passage. Well, in verse 10, the Spirit appears in the form of a dove, coming down from heaven and resting on Jesus as he's being baptized. Isn't that just an amazing picture just to think about for a moment? The Spirit in the form of a dove coming down from the sky and resting on Jesus. John has already explained that Jesus will later baptize with the Holy Spirit. But here we see the Spirit come and rest upon Jesus. Why is that significant? Well, the Holy Spirit empowers Jesus throughout his ministry. But the Spirit also leads Jesus. And crucially in our passage today, I want us to see how and understand how the Holy Spirit leads. If you take a look at verse 12 and 13, we read that at once the Spirit sent him, that's Jesus, out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals and angels attended him. Isn't it a striking thought that right at the start of Jesus' ministry, the Spirit rests on Jesus, and the first thing he does, the first thing the Holy Spirit does, is to send Jesus out into the wilderness where he will be tempted and tested for 40 days. The wilderness, or I guess you could call it the desert place, is a place that we can also experience in the Bible. This concept of the wilderness is like the really tough times that people go through. And they go through that for various reasons, which we'll come on to in a moment. But the wilderness is when we experience hard times in life, the testing moments, the moments we are tempted. It's the challenging seasons we go through. Perhaps now you are in a challenging season. Perhaps you feel as if you are in the wilderness, the desert place. This morning, I want to suggest to us that there are actually three types of wilderness experiences that we can go through. And I'll just go through them now with you. The first type of wilderness experience we can go through is the one of disobedience. Through the wrong and just poor choices we make, because we turn our back on God, we can enter into the wilderness experience where things get really hard and difficult as a result of the bad choices that we make in life. The second type of wilderness experience I think we can have is just as a result of the fall. And what I mean by that is just because of the fall and because of the state of our world and the state of humanity, because there is sin in our lives, life can be difficult. Because of the fall, we have to work hard. We have pain in our lives that are unavoidable. That's kind of wilderness experience, not because you've been disobedient to God, but simply because life at the moment, until we enter glory, will be difficult. And then the final type of wilderness, and this is the one I want to look at now, is the wilderness experience that we can have when we are obedient. Obedience can lead to the wilderness. Isn't that a striking thought for us this morning? obedience is actually the kind of wilderness experience that we see in our passage today. I find that a really striking thought, that to be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit will actually mean at times you will be led into wilderness experiences. It's when following Jesus means things get tough. I wonder whether you've ever experienced what I'm describing here. What could that look like? Well, perhaps it looks like choosing to resign from your job because your boss is putting pressure on you to do something that actually displeases the Lord. Or maybe it looks like making personal sacrifices that don't make sense to anybody, but that you do it anyway because you think the Holy Spirit is leading you and nudging you to do that. Or maybe it's making a decision to stick at something, even when it hurts, even when it's costly, because that is where you are being led. Isn't that striking? Obedience to the Holy Spirit, obedience to God, will mean going into wilderness experiences. But being obedient might mean stepping out of your comfort zone. Well, what happens in the wilderness? Well, God uses these times to get our undivided attention. He gets our focus. He's able to work on our character, and he uses these times to break down the idols that we have built up in our lives. Ultimately, God uses these times to install in us a greater level of intimacy with him. Let me give you some examples. God's people, Israel, they wandered through the wilderness throughout the desert for 40 years. A walk that could have taken 11 days took 40 years. Why? So that God could shape them into being his people. Paul, the apostle Paul, his obedience led him to be imprisoned. It led him to be shipwrecked 3 times. It led him to be beaten and to be left for dead. The list actually goes on with Paul. And yet Paul worked, the Lord worked in Paul to bring him to a place where he could say these words. I'm going to read, these are the words of Paul from Philippians 4. Paul says, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Being obedient to the Holy Spirit might mean being led into the wilderness, but it is there that we develop a greater intimacy with God. Well, back to Jesus, what is it that the Holy Spirit does for Jesus? Well, in the wilderness, Jesus is tempted by Satan. Based on our passage today, we don't know exactly what the role of the Holy Spirit was during Jesus' temptation. But while Jesus was there, the Holy Spirit helps Jesus and empowers him to overcome the trials and temptations of the devil. But perhaps the key thing that I want us to note from our passage today, perhaps Mark's emphasis here, is one that the role of the Holy Spirit during Jesus' ministry was to lead him where he needed to be and needed to go. And so as I come to finish and conclude this talk, as we've looked at the Trinity on this Trinity Sunday, I want us to recognize and know that the life, ministry, death, resurrection of Jesus isn't just about one man who performed miracles and who was an amazing teacher and who healed people. No, it's so much more than that. Jesus's life is the work of God, the Trinity. Jesus's ministry is the work of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. 3 persons in one, who together we worship, we adore, we listen to, we submit to, we follow the leading of the Trinity. And so finally, just to close, in the future, when you come to hear more about Jesus, when you look at his ministry, don't just see one man, but instead see the outworking of God three in one. Let me say a prayer to finish. So Heavenly Father, I pray to you and I thank you that you started this new mission on earth, and that we see the Trinity, God the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit at Jesus' baptism. What an event that is. So Father, I thank you that you revealed yourself in this way, that we can learn more about who you are. Lord, at times it goes beyond our understanding. So I pray that you would help us to get to grips with who you are, Father. When we look at Jesus, I pray we would see your outworking, your new mission on earth. Lord, help us to relate to you, help us to understand you, and help us to do your work on earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.